Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez on this Thursday, April 11th, 2024. Thanks for joining us. Stay on the show. Buster Olney will join us, our baseball insider from ESPN. We'll talk to CJ Moore about some college basketball, kind of wrap things up, wrap the season up, and get his thoughts on the ongoing coaching carousel. That should be interesting with CJ Moore. And then Gary Dieter and Anthony Sherman will be with us in the 8 o'clock hour. Does that surprise you, Nate?
No, it doesn't surprise me.
You sure?
Yeah, I confirmed last night they were going to be here.
Right. Seems like you don't want them here, but...
No, I do want them here today.
Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star will be with us also today in the 9 o'clock hour.
He kind of is a Kansas City Star, isn't he?
He is. He's a hell of a writer, and he's a fun guest to have on the show. The Kansas City Royals win again. The Kansas City Royals win again. 6-game winning streak. And early, the bullpen was the issue. Now they've thrown 16 and a third scoreless innings.
How about those Royals?
Consecutive.
Huh?
During the 6-game winning streak. They have been terrific. They did not give up a run in the White Sox series, and they have not given up a run here in the Astros series.
Yes.
Seth Lugo offered up another good start. That continues to look like a very good signing for the Royals. I'm tired of qualifying everything with it's early. You know it's early. We're just going to talk about what's happening right in front of our eyes. And so far, it's been terrific. The Royals now, after another win over the Astros, are 8-4. They beat them down last night, 11-2. And Seth Lugo, now 2-0 with a 1.45 ERA on the young season. He went 6 innings, gave up 7 hits, 2 runs, 2 walks, couple of strikeouts. I know Mike Boddicker, a little disappointed there, was looking for some more strikeouts from him. Says, doesn't matter what you do unless you get
right.
A bunch of Ks. Mike Boddicker already texted me this morning. I told you guys not to worry about Vinny Pasquantino.
That doesn't seem like Mike to give you an I told you so.
And then I texted him back, should I worry about Nate? And he said, oh, yeah. Yes. Yes, I agree.
For many reasons.
Yes!
Zerpa, Lyles, and Sauer with the scoreless innings each out of the bullpen in relief of Seth Lugo. But the star of the game was Vinny Pasquantino, as Mike Boddicker pointed out. Vinny broke out last night 3-for-3 with 2 runs scored, 5 ribbies. He hit a home run. He had a walk. That's Vinny Pasquantino, baby. And look, you know, I don't question Vinny whatsoever as a hitter. I've been, well, I mean, back in the day, if we're going to pat ourselves on the back, if you remember when Nick Prado was the guy that was getting all the love as a prospect, and Vinny Pasquantino was more of a, I don't want to say a dark horse prospect, but more for baseball nerds, rotisserie nerds, you know, deep analytics guys that follow, and look, hey, not everyone follows the farm system. It's kind of geeky. I don't know, whatever word you, because I've that's something I've done for years and years because of my love of rotisserie baseball. And I've always loved reading about prospects, watching prospects. One of my best friends, Anthony, and my friend Brian, we would all, you know, couldn't wait to buy the Baseball America Prospect Handbook every year, or any one of the before, especially before the internet became all the rage, when you'd actually have to, you couldn't wait. Hey, we'd call each other. Hey, Prospect Handbook's out. Barnes & Noble, it's there. I just called. You race over there. You know, you couldn't look them up on the internet. You couldn't look them up on the computer box. And so you'd read about them. But I've always enjoyed that. I've thoroughly enjoyed that. Prospect rankings. And Vinny was a favorite of hardcore baseball nuts. And, you know, I told you, hey, I think he's a better hitting prospect than Prado. I think that's the guy that you circle. Vinny Pasquantino is a guy that I think he's going to end up being the first baseman. I hope Nick Prado finds his way to the majors as well at some point. But Vinny Pasquantino hit the cover off the ball in the minors, was unlike a lot of prospects at the time that were coming up around him because he had a high on-base percentage and he had a different approach and he wasn't afraid to take a walk. He looked like one of those prospects that other teams would have, and you like, why can't the Royals get a guy like that? Why can't the Royals get a guy that has that approach? And so, you know, when he came up, it was very exciting for a lot of people that were in on him early. And then, of course, last year, the freaking injury with his shoulder, that sucked. That sucked for Vinny. That sucked for the Royals. That sucked for a lot of people. And so I don't question him. I've loved him as a prospect from as early as I started following him. But shoulder injuries scare me. I'll just be honest with you. Obviously for pitchers, but for anyone. Having gone through shoulder surgeries and issues and multiple shots in my life. Look, I'm not trying to be a hitter in the major leagues, you know. I'm just trying to live my life and I know how bad shoulder issues are. But I've talked to enough former major leaguers that have dealt with shoulder problems, and sometimes they can alter your career. And I'm not saying that with Vinny. It just makes you nervous, you know. But he started off slow. Like Q just said, it's early. He doesn't have a whole lot of at-bats. But even Vinny last night after the game admitted he was frustrated. He was starting to press. And look, and also just getting back at it after coming back from a surgery with a lengthy absence. Give him some time to get back to what he was. And hopefully this is the first of many big games he's going to have this season for the Royals. Because that's the kind of hitter he could be. We talked about this for the last couple of weeks. Man, just wait till Vinny gets hot. You know, this team's winning all these games. Other people are carrying the load, but wait till Vinny gets hot. Look, they have him hitting number three for a reason. This isn't a guy that they just kind of like that they have hitting sixth or seventh. They have him in the three hole. And I've told you when I've talked to Royals people in the front office about who they believe is their nucleus that they're going to build around, that they are building around, that they have built around, he's part of it. When other teams call them, when the Marlins told them that, yes, you can have one of our young, impressive starting pitchers, but the guy we want in return is Vinny Pasquantino, the Royals said no for a reason. Now, we'll look down the road 2 or 3 years from now and find out if that was a mistake, but that happened. You know, the Royals, and look, and guess what? Some trades that you want to make and you don't make end up being good moves. Because at the All-Star break last year, the Royals were close to trading MJ Melendez for one of the Marlins pitchers. And I'm going to tell you this, if Kim Ng was still the GM for the Marlins? If she hadn't have left the organization, there's a good chance that MJ Melendez would have been traded in the offseason for a starting pitcher from the Marlins organization. That didn't happen because there was a new regime that came in for the Marlins, and they were no longer interested in MJ Melendez. Guess who they were interested in? Vinny. Like, oh, yeah. Well, you know, when the Royals went back to revisit those talks that they had at the trade deadline with the Marlins, like, oh, yeah, we'll still trade one of our pitchers, but it's not going to be for Melendez. It's going to be for Pasquantino. And the Royals were like, no, thank you. You could agree with it or disagree with it, but that's what their approach was. All right? And so they believe that I'll say this to them, blue in the face, royal blue. They believe this nucleus going into the season, Bobby Witt, Mikel Garcia, Vinny Pasquantino, Cole Reagans, and then the next level, right kind of there, Brady Singer. And that's for a reason. He's hitting number three for a reason. The Royals said no to other teams trying to acquire him for a reason. And guess what? Maybe now, after this year, MJ Melendez will force his way into that conversation. So far, so good, right? You got the opportunity to. But last night, that's what he can be. A middle-of-the-order thumper that also has a tremendous eye that will have a good on-base percentage and also hit for power and also be a run producer. And guess what? Will be a fun guy, we've already seen, to follow, a fun guy in the clubhouse, a good guy that teammates rally around. The guy excited everyone was last night with five ribbies. He's a stud. And on top of that, in the media scrum, when the cameras are rolling, he's dropping F-bombs last night.
Yeah, he is.
He's dropping F-bombs. I know Jake likes that, right? He was emotional. He was fired up. Why wouldn't you be fired up? He's watching his other teammates perform and chip in and be part of this winning early in the season. He's hated losing the last couple of years. And so he finally breaks out and has a big game. That's got to feel great. And even though it's only been a handful of games, you get frustrated. He admitted it. And so even though we were encouraged the first week of the season, now the things that you were even a little bit worried about, the bullpen, Vinny Pasquantino, now all of a sudden, after last night, you think, boy, maybe this thing is just going to all come together. Oh, it's early. What do you mean do? And they're 8-4. All I can talk about is what they're doing right now. And they showed they were competitive with the Orioles on the road. They lost a couple of close games. They should have at least come away with a series win there. They're showing that they did what they were supposed to do against a bad White Sox team. Beat them up. And now, what do people say? Well, just wait now. Here come the Astros. Now we'll see what they got. Well, what do they got? What do we say now? They've already won the series. And they're looking for another sweep. They've won six in a row. Andy Rogers tweeted out, Vinny Pasquantino, with a big smile after a five-ribby night, said, and he said it, F yeah! Some frustration set in for me. The beautiful thing is, it doesn't matter when you're winning. And that's something we haven't been able to say around here for the past 2 years. It doesn't effing matter.
Yeah. Mm. F yeah.
Pasquantino then profusely apologized for swearing with the cameras on. And he says, I, however, thought it was hilarious. That's what you like. Drop some F-bombs and then profusely apologize. Yeah,
apologize after the fact.
Right. Yeah. That's exactly right. He's excited. What, I mean, why wouldn't he be?
It's real emotion.
Did that, by the way, did that make it out there? Did the F-bombs make it to the social media?
It hasn't yet that I've seen.
Yeah, those people are asking her about that. And
Bally's has not posted it.
Oh, you don't think? You don't think Bally's will have that on there? Somebody asked her, is there a clip of this? And Annie responded, I don't think they'll put that one on TV. So,
well, you can bleep it out.
Right. That, see, they should put that one on TV.
Right.
That's what they should put on TV.
Authentic emotion. Real.
Right.
Not sugar-coated.
That's right.
Raw.
You can say the F-bomb after 10 p.m. now, right? Isn't that,
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't care what time it is. You can say the F-bomb after 5 ribbies.
Yeah, there you go.
That's the rule. You drive in 5 runs, you can say the F-bomb. Especially if you've been slumping. That's how Major League Baseball should look at it. Okay. Pasquantino said the F-bomb on TV.
How many RBIs?
5.
Oh, yeah, let it go.
Very good.
Sorry.
He said two F-bombs.
Right.
Also had a homer.
Right. And a walk. Yeah. We like it. You know. Wait, we got Joey Votto Jr. over here. That was the comp. Like, that's the pie in the sky, high ceiling comp.
Yeah.
I'm not telling you he's going to be Joey Votto, but that's like what you do when you know, that's the thing I love about prospects. Like, who do you compare him to? Like,
yeah.
Well, let me tell you. You know.
Yeah.
Steven with his nerd books. I think he's.
You know, the Royals have the second best run differential in all of baseball.
Mm hmm.
So, yes. Like, they're not, you know, sometimes people like to point at that, well, they won some games, but.
As I said yesterday, this ain't smoke and mirrors.
Yeah. They kicked Houston's ass yesterday.
Easy. You didn't have 5 ribbies, buddy. You watch your mouth.
I didn't drop an F-bomb. Well,
but you're close. You're getting cute.
getting a little cute over here.
Don't get cute with me. You know?
Okay.
But, I mean, that was awesome. And you're right. It doesn't matter when the team's winning. It doesn't matter, but you want to be a part of it, and you want to be able to say, "I helped this team win." You don't want to feel like you're dragging them down.
Yeah.
So that's why. Yes, that's a cause for F-bombs. You're out there. You hit a home run. You freaking drove in 5 runs. Yeah. Now what? Let him get hot.
Right.
Let him get hot, and then see what kind of pitches Bobby Witt Jr. is going to see.
Well,
and then see what kind of pitches Michael Garcia is going to see. And that's why we expressed so much excitement and enthusiasm for the top 3 in the lineup between Garcia, and Garcia's been kind of cold a little bit, but they'll all help each other. If that's the Vinny, if he's going to be that now. You know, then that just changes the way you're pitching to Garcia, changes the way you're pitching to Bobby Witt Jr., changes the way, I mean, MJ Melendez and his hot bat, that changes the way you're pitching to Salvi. It just, you know, lengthens the lineup. It's very exciting.
Well, one of the things we said with Bod yesterday when he said not to worry is there's going to be other guys that get cold, and hopefully that's when Vinny gets hot. Nobody stays hot all season. You know, I love what MJ Melendez is doing so far, but he's not going to be this hot all year.
So you say.
Yeah. If he ends up with an OPS of over 1,000, he does become one of those,
right.
You know.
Tremendous.
Those players that they've got to say they can't let go. But yesterday, you know, the bottom of the order hadn't done much for the Royals. It had been mostly the top half of the order doing everything. And yesterday, it was the one guy in the top half of the order who hasn't, in Vinny, and then the guys in the bottom of the order producing the runs. And that's great because you can't count on those 3 guys at the top to carry the offense every single night. That's not going to work. So awesome.
Another very impressive stat besides the run differential. Jake Gutierrez, do you realize that the Royals have given up fewer runs than any team in Major League Baseball? 30.
I think Jake would say they're shoving right now, the Royals pitchers.
I absolutely would not, but you would.
I just did.
You would.
They're shoving.
You know what's interesting, too, and we'll see how this plays out. But what do we say? And what has everyone said all offseason? Well, the AL Central's not very good. It's just a mediocre division. Despite winning six in a row, and despite being off to this 8-4 start, they're still a game behind Cleveland. Because Cleveland, I said the Royals have given up 30 runs. Cleveland's given up 34. And you mentioned the Royals' run differential is terrific at plus 29. Cleveland's is plus 35. And so they're right there. But again, they lost Shane Bieber for the season. And that matters. But right now, Cleveland 9-3, Royals 8-4, Detroit 7-4. Minnesota's 4-6, and then there's the White Sox at 2-10, living up to their expectations. So.
And Minnesota beat the Dodgers last night. Maybe this division's a little better than we thought.
Maybe. We'll see.
It's early.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know that.
All I know is the Royals are better than most people thought.
Yeah.
8-4, six in a row. Just put a beating on the Astros, and now they go for the sweep. We'll take that. And another sign of the dramatic improvement in the roster. We've already seen Cole Reagans, already seen Seth Lugo. Now you get a chance. Who's on the mound going for the sweep? Brady Singer. And he's been a stud so far. 110 first pitch.
Oh, boy.
Some afternoon baseball, some afternoon love, hopefully. An afternoon sweep as Singer goes to the mound for the Royals. The 8-4 Royals looking to sweep the Houston Astros out of Kansas City. We'll take a break. Back after this on WHP. Welcome back to the show. Vinny Pasquantino, 5 ribbies last night. Let's hear Vinny on the field after the game with Joel Goldberg.
We know that Vinny is one of the best personalities on this team. He just said, hey, remember me? Yes, we do. I think you made sure that everybody remembered you last night. Well, let's just talk about the team overall. Every spot in the batting lineup scored tonight. The pitching was spectacular. How much of this is Royals baseball?
It's unbelievable. Playing behind these guys that are pitching, it's ridiculous. Just to go win another series, that's what it's all about. So couldn't be happier. Ready to flip the page to tomorrow and try to go get a sweep.
I know for you, you don't ever want to make it about yourself. It was just amazing for you to get back, to be healthy, to be on the field. How have you navigated these couple weeks getting your timing down while watching your team win?
Still working on it. It's a process.
It is big.
I guess they wanted to make up for some lost time. It's been a while.
I've never been happier for an ice bath. So, just pumped, ready to get back at it tomorrow and try to take care of business.
It's a career high 5 RBI, and you go to the opposite field. At what point, maybe before tonight, could you feel like, or did you feel like things were getting close?
You never know until you know, right? I still don't know. I'm just trying to go have at-bats. That's it. Try to go have good quality at-bats and try to help this team win. Tonight it worked out. Like I said, just like after a bad game, too. Ready to flip the page and get to tomorrow.
All right, I'm not going to let you flip the page quite yet because I got to talk to you about the home run. That's vintage Vinny Pasquantino fouling off changeup after changeup. 10 pitches. Take me through that at-bat and your thought process.
Yeah, I'd keep throwing myself changeups right now, too. Hopefully I may have changed that a little bit tonight. I saw a bunch of them that at bat, and he finally threw me one up that I was able to get to. No more than that. I just put a good swing on a pitch, and just ready to get to tomorrow.
All right, last thing. The common thread talking to everybody every day, every night, is how much fun this group is having, the chemistry this early in the season. And you missed a lot of that last year. You love being around the guys. What's your perspective on this group right now?
You're lucky enough to be in the clubhouse and see what it's like. So it's just a good group of guys. That's it. And we know that there's a long season left. We're happy with where we're at, but we're not, we're still hungry. There's no let off right now. It's just keep going, and like I've said a million times, we're ready to get to tomorrow.
Flip the page. We will see you back here tomorrow.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Vinny Pasquantino, career high 5 RBI.
Vinny P, what do you want from me? More home runs. Let's go. Easy
got to,
yeah, easy got to root for too.
Heck yeah.
So. This is wild, man.
What a start. I was at an event last night down at the KC Current stadium for University of Kansas Health Systems, and I ran into a lot of people listening to the show, and the first thing somebody asked me was, are the Royals for real? What would you have answered?
I don't know. I went through the same exact story in the monologue yesterday. Do you remember what I said?
Yeah. But that was a day ago, you know, new day.
What do you say? What do you think I'm going to say? No, they're not for real after the 11-2 victory.
I was just giving you the opportunity to answer the question again, since you know we didn't mind
you.
Not
you answer it.
People.
No, we have the exact same people listening.
Well,
trust me on that.
I said, I don't know how real they are, but yeah, they're for real. They're a legit baseball team. Does that mean they're going to win the division? I don't know, but I think they're going to be a factor this year. Yeah.
Yeah, there's many reasons to believe that, yes.
As long as their pitching stays healthy, is what I said. You know, right. They got to keep the rotation healthy, I think. But if that happens, yeah.
That's with every team in baseball.
Right.
Now, the Royals may not, you know, that's... But again, if you're nitpicking, they don't have a whole lot of depth right now in the organization as far as starting pitching.
Yeah.
You know.
Hard to when you had to rebuild 4/5 of your rotation in the offseason. It's hard to have then like 2-3 other guys just waiting in the wings.
So could they deal with an injury? Sure, maybe an injury, but you know, hey, starting pitching injuries, that's one of the main topics in Major League Baseball right now. So
yeah.
That's certainly not unique to the Royals, but other teams like you know Houston and Cleveland, they're ahead of the Royals in the process. You know, at least with this regime and since they've revamped everything in the organization as far as developing starting pitching and changing the approach from what it was under Dayton Moore, they haven't had enough time yet for that to get through the entire organization, right? But that's the hope. The hope is you're going to get more Alec Marsh's guys that have tremendous stuff that weren't producing at the level you expected them to in the minors. But you think, like, I heard Petro mention this the other day, but, like, and I hate to even bring up Cal Eldred because we talked about him way too much for too long when he was here. But, I mean, do you think if that regime was here, they would have been able to get their hands on Cole Reagans after a trade and help turn him into what he is right now?
No.
I mean, do you think we would have seen Alec Marsh go out and win the 5th starting spot the way he did in the spring and be pitching the way he is right now? I know it was a little bit of a rough start last time, but just the fact that he's in the rotation and has people excited... I mean, do you feel like if the bullpen was struggling the way they were, they would have made necessary adjustments and had such a quick turnaround to see now that they've had this long scoreless streak and haven't given up a run in 6 games? No.
Mm-mm.
No. And so that's why we need to start mentioning Brian Sweeney more often. We were always quick to mention Cal Eldred when things were terrible.
Yeah. Yeah,
we need to keep that same energy and talk about Brian Sweeney
and the whole pitching lab.
Right. All of it.
Yep.
But he's the pitching coach, you know. And so when you were bitching about the pitching, Cal Eldred was an easy name to say, right? Well,
yep.
Cal Eldred, I mean, what's this guy doing? And so now that we're seeing the rotation pitch so well, we're seeing the bullpen right now go through such a tremendous stretch, Brian Sweeney should get those mentions, right? Instead of the negative mentions when things aren't going well, Brian Sweeney. Right?
Got to give him credit, man. Yeah. It's... That was like the first thing that they changed when the regime changed was we're overhauling the way we approach pitching.
Wouldn't that have been the first thing you changed? Yeah. Yeah. Within seconds of me taking over.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think we should change? Pitching? Okay. Let's go.
Well, all these other teams already had these pitching labs, you know, and the Royals were behind. And I remember talking to some of the baseball insiders like, well, yeah, it's great that the Royals are doing this, but they're 5 years behind everybody else. Well, at least they're doing it now.
Right.
You know?
And
maybe they'll do it a little better than some of the other teams.
But then, and that's when it gets into organizational depth. Being able to, because like with Houston, you see where they lose a pitcher. And then here comes this 28-year-old that throws a no-hitter. Like, what?
Yeah. Cleveland seems to do the same thing, right?
Cleveland is a perfect example. They just continue to churn out starting pitchers.
Yeah.
A guy gets hurt. They trade a guy. They lose the guy. It's one right after another because of the organizational depth, because they've had time to build that. And the Royals, with this new approach, they've had time to hit it at the major league level. But then when you really start to make a difference is when you've got to do out the organization, and you can absorb injuries, or you can absorb, you can trade, you can make trades, you can do all kinds of different things when you have that system where you're developing arms. They're not there yet, but the hope is they're getting there, right?
Yeah.
Based on what we're seeing at the major league level, you're okay. All right, I like this process. Mm-hmm. Continue it. Now, what do they have to do better? Draft. Got to draft better, right?
Yep. Develop.
Draft and develop. But there's every indication you feel good about that right now. And continue to make trades. Continue to make deals. And we talked so much about the Cole Reagan strategy. I told you the other day, this guy keeps hitting, and he was good again last night. We need to keep mentioning the Nelson Velasquez trade. And I follow all these baseball people. I have no idea who they are. Sarah Sanchez, who writes about the Cubs for many sites. I saw her tweet last night. Nelson Velasquez for Jose Quas might wind up being one of the worst trades in Cubs history. And that comes from the angry side.
Right.
It comes from the Cubs side. They don't like what they've seen so far. Would you?
No.
That looks like a trade. Like, now what? What were the Cubs thinking? What was they doing? So, add him to the mix. You got the box score. What did he do last night?
Here we go. He, because I know he had a good day. 2 for 4, yeah. 2 ribbies, and a run score.
What's his slash line right now for the season?
343 batting average, 395 on base, 600 slug. Just under 1,000 OPS. I mean,
right. And how many bombs did he hit last year for the Royals? And what was the slug last year? Yeah. If you're a Cubs fan, you're like, what the hell? who do we? What was it? Who else did they give us? Oh, just him? One for what? What? No. Yet. And I'm like, yes. You look at those two trades alone. Aroldis Chapman for Cole Reagans and trading Jose Quas for Nelson Velasquez. I'm like,
thank you, my friend.
J.J. Piccolo, Scott Sharp, let's trade a little bit more.
Let's make a deal.
Let's make some more deals. And it might get to that point like where people are not, like they deal with Tampa.
Got him!
Like Tampa with 20 players. Like, oh, what do they know?
Yeah.
Why do they want him? What's going on here?
Maybe we need to reevaluate our own guy.
There you go. Nelson Velasquez, so far, stud. I like it. Cubs fans don't. That's fine. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Well, an arrest warrant was issued for Rashee Rice in Dallas. So, there's an update. Also, Josina Anderson, NFL insider, tweeted out that she was told that Rice, and this was she tweeted this out last night, planning to turn himself over to authorities in connection with active warrants for his arrest by the Dallas PD per source. The specifics of that process were still being finalized at the time. Let's hear what Ian Rappaport on NFL.com, NFL Network, had to say about the Rashee Rice situation.
Yeah, we take a turn there from a feel-good story to one that is really not good, honestly, for Rashee Rice, the standout receiver for the Kansas City Chiefs. An arrest warrant has been issued by Dallas PD for Rashee Rice for his role in a high-speed car crash from last month. He received eight charges, according to police, for his role. I'll read them to you. 6 counts of collision involving bodily harm, 1 count collision involving serious bodily harm, 1 count aggravated assault. Remember, his attorney has already admitted that both cars involved in this crash, a Corvette and a Lamborghini, were either in his name or belonged to him. Rashee Rice posted on Instagram recently that he takes full responsibility for this, for his actions. Meanwhile, the NFL continues to monitor this very serious.
The driver of the Corvette at the time of the collision was Theodore Knox, 21 years old, who faces the same charges as Rice. Knox is a cornerback on the current roster of the SMU football team, where, of course, Rice played in college. The passengers in the vehicle will not be charged.
That's a lot of charges.
Serious ones, too.
Yes.
The aggravated assault, second-degree felony, is punishable by up to 20 years in prison. Collision involving serious bodily injury, a third-degree felony, is punishable by 10 years in prison. Collision involving injury is punishable by up to 5 years in prison.
There's nothing good you can take away from it. It's,
The initial hope is you were hoping he wasn't driving, and that obviously when he came out and said that.
Yeah, that kind of cleared that up then.
Yeah.
Any mystery there?
So, obviously.
Don't know.
He'll have due process. He'll play out.
Don't know. We'll see.
Not good, though.
For now, he can afford a good lawyer. But, man.
I'm going to guess that he probably didn't have to pay for his lawyer.
Well, yeah, maybe not.
Right.
Either way, he can afford a good lawyer.
Right, there's some others that have a vested interest in this.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
I'm going to go ahead and say legal representation won't be his problem here.
The people that want to try to keep him out of jail?
Yeah.
Very good point.
Yes.
Very good point.
And we've seen that can make a big difference in our legal system, so we'll see how that...
can make all the difference.
Yeah, so we'll see how that... Because, like what you said, punishable by up to?
Yeah, up to.
What's it down to? You know what I mean?
Like, you hope that there's a plea deal on the table and he pleads it down.
He avoids prison time.
You avoid trial. You avoid prison time. You plead a deal down. Pay some fines.
I have no idea, man. I'm just speculating. You know, as good way as it comes out,
it'll play out.
We'll tell you what happened. Yeah. So.
It's just unfortunate.
It's
a learning lesson. Yeah.
Well,
it's eye opening to listen to Jake read off what those things, what you could, how far the punishment could go.
When I read that, when I read that last night, I was like, wow, like these aren't misdemeanors. These aren't
what it is, and this coming from someone who has made many mistakes, continues to make many mistakes, but I made far more mistakes when I was younger than I do now. What it was and what it is stupid and irresponsible.
Yep.
To even be having this conversation and dealing with this is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. You put a whole bunch of people, their safety and their health in jeopardy. For what? For what? You know?
Yeah.
And look, and he ain't the only one. How many times you see someone irresponsible behind the wheel of a car driving 120 on the highway? I mean, there's...
Oh, I'll be the last one to cast stones.
Right, right.
I mean,
we've all done stupid things behind the wheel of a car.
In high school?
Moronic things.
I was cited for driving on the wrong side of the road.
But...
Dumb.
You know.
Dumb things.
You just have so many... As a professional athlete, especially someone like Rashee Rice, you just have access to so many things that could make this preventable. And, you know, but
yeah, I mean, mistakes are the curriculum of life. You know, you have to make them, and you need to learn from them. And it's when you don't learn from them that's when problems, real problems, start to happen.
Yeah, I keep thinking about being a parent right now and watching my first child wander into those teenage years,
yeah,
when I know he's going to make a lot of stupid mistakes, and you hope none of them are bad enough that they are mistakes you can't really recover from, you know. And we've talked about this, and with all this being said, Rashee Rice is incredibly lucky that nobody was more seriously hurt or died.
Yep.
And because that's the kind of mistake that lands you in prison for a long time,
yeah.
You know, and so.
And I see, I can.
And also, just the guilt that you have to carry the rest
right.
of your life, knowing you ended
right.
somebody else's life because of your big mistake. You
but
know?
I really don't even know how seriously they were hurt, so I can't even.
Yeah.
I don't even feel comfortable saying that.
Yeah.
I don't know how badly these people were hurt or how it might affect their lives moving forward.
That's fair enough.
I mean,
yeah, that's fair enough.
You know?
Yeah.
Serious enough for those charges.
Yeah. Yep.
Just because we've all done really stupid things doesn't make this less of a stupid thing.
No.
Right? This was a really stupid thing.
It's a traumatic event. I mean, it's absolutely traumatic on all parties.
Well, we'll keep you updated as that story develops back after this on WHB.